This is your host, C. Edward Kelso, Editor-in-Chief, out of CoinSpice.io, back with another episode of the CoinSpice Podcast. It's been a while since I've done an intro, a formal intro to one of these things, but I wanted to give you a few cautionary tips as you listen to this particular recording. One is, as you can hear, my voice is less than the velvet fog you are used to, that sultry croon that I normally have. I've been a little sick lately, a little under the weather. Does not stop the spice. It must flow. So I apologize for that. I'm sure it's not fun to listen to, but I had a chance to record with Cindy Wang, direct from mainland China, and she's a cryptocurrency journalist that I think most of you probably know, or at least are relatively familiar with. She does a lot of translation work. She's very cued in to the peer-to-peer electronic cash community there in China. And I know this sounds really stupid, but when we started recording, I'd kind of forgotten about the coronavirus. Now, some of you are probably shaking your head like, what is wrong with you? And I agree with you. Like, I'd kind of forgotten. I didn't forget, but it seemed to me like sort of beside the point. Like, I just kind of wanted to get on with talking about crypto and things China. And I soon realized how ridiculous that was. And so as you're hearing the conversation, I stumble a lot. Now, if you're a regular listener, I stumble all the time, so that's nothing unusual. But I stumbled quite a bit in this interview, and I'm sorry that it's flat. It has nothing to do with Cindy Wang. She's perfectly wonderful. And normally she and I laugh and have a great old time. But you'll hear, I kind of find it hard to talk about cryptocurrency when someone's quarantined. I don't know, it just puts it in perspective. To her credit, Cindy, you know, tries to connect it, and she's a great sport, and she tries to make the interview relevant to cryptocurrency and why we would want to talk to her on CoinSpice. I think you'll hear there's a definite lack of verve and joy that I normally bring and guests normally bring to the podcast, just due to the seriousness of what she's going through, as you'll hopefully listen. So I wanted to let you know that that's what's going on, that it's all me, that I suddenly, it dawns on me that, geez, maybe crypto's not the most important subject to talk to Cindy about right now. In any case, that's what you're about to listen to. It's arguably one of the most important episodes I've ever recorded. Gives you an on-the-ground sense of really what's happening in mainland China right now, and what it might mean for cryptocurrency without being exploitive, you know, without trying to take advantage of the situation. Honestly, I totally forgot. Like, it was kind of, I was going to do it in passing, and then, you know, obviously it tends to take over the conversation. In the show notes, do me a favor, do Coin Spicers a favor. Cindy's Bitcoin Cash address is there. If you've got a little bit of change, you don't mind sending her away. That would be very, very cool of you. She does amazing work to bring Bitcoin Cash and peer-to-peer electronic cash literacy to the Chinese community. And boy, could she use your help. I think that's all I'll say there. I don't want to give too much away about her personal situation, but safe to say she's going through it, fellas. So anyway, without any further ado, here is the episode. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for supporting. And thanks so much for forgiving my my lackluster performance in this
one. All right. So we're back, and we've got the great Cindy Wang. She's a crypto journalist. She's been around for a while, and you probably know her work or have seen her work or have at least been impacted by it, maybe without even knowing it. She's a translator as well, and she's based in China right now. But before we get too much further into all of that, first off, Cindy, thanks so much for coming on the show again.
Hello, Kelso, and every corner who is listening to the podcast. It's Cindy.
So great to have you back on. Now, you know, obviously you're in China and you're not in Hong Kong. You're on the mainland, right?
Yes.
You know, the coronavirus, the novel coronavirus, we hear a lot about it here in the United States and around the world, but you're actually living with its impact. How's life there? How are you being impacted by it?
Well, first of all, we can only go outside 3 times a week to buy some life necessities. And second, there are nowhere to buy masks, so we better stay at home because you are not sure who has the virus outside. And the officials are still haven't reached agreement about how the virus being spread. It's like one day they say it is spread by saliva, and the next day it becomes simple touching. And now they say it can be spread by air, so we better stay at home. But I actually think the virus is good for the crypto space.
You think it's good for the crypto space?
Yes.
And so how many, so before we get into why it might be good for the crypto space, how many days have you been inside?
The officials asked us to stay at home for 2 weeks, but actually it's been 20 days.
Wow. You've not left your home for 20 days.
Yeah, 20 days. And for those employees who went back to their hometown and now they come back to city and they want to work, they need to stay at home for another 2 weeks before they can go back to job.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Unreal. So you said that it might be the situation in kind of a strange way might be good for crypto. Why do you say that?
Because generally after the Chinese Lunar New Year, there would be capital pour into the stock market. But now as all companies are closed and the stock market has a really bad performance, so investors are looking for alternatives. And I believe cryptocurrency is definitely one of it. This is probably why we see this recent jump.
Wow, I would have never thought that. That's really insightful. So perhaps people are looking to crypto as a safe haven, temporarily at least, away from the stock market. And that goes kind of hand in hand with some of the news we've been reading last year about the government opening up a little bit, if not to cryptocurrency, at least to talk of blockchain, and being a little bit more receptive about it. Have you seen a change in government attitude towards crypto and blockchain?
Yes, and let's take this coronavirus for example. So in this event, a lot of people want to donate money to people who has the disease and to people locked in Wuhan, but they don't trust the Red Cross and other charity organizations. Mm. And there are actually officials who propose to use blockchain technology to trace where the capital goes. This is definitely a good thing for the blockchain industry.
Right. And as you were talking, I was thinking it also eliminates kind of the need for, in terms of regular sort of hard, I guess, paper money, the need for person-to-person interaction. So it actually could be safer to transact in crypto, right?
Yes. And actually, last year, we see a lot of provinces are encouraging people to start up with blockchain-related businesses, and they have blockchain industrial parks.
Wow. And does that necessarily mean that they're, because in the United States and in the West, we sometimes use blockchain as a euphemism, as a placeholder for crypto, because businesses don't like the word cryptocurrency, so they just sort of cover it up with blockchain. Is that kind of what's happening here, or am I missing something?
I don't think so. I see after the Xi Jinping's speech last year, local governments are really trying to attract some blockchain talents.
And does, do you think they're going to open up more to crypto?
I'm not sure about that, but yeah. Actually, we see a lot of unexpected events in the beginning of 2020, like the conflict between America and Iran, and now the virus in China. So I think more people will seek crypto as safe saving assets, right? And actually we see topics like Bitcoin, I see topics such as Bitcoin reached $10,000 again. It's now actually a trending social topic on Chinese Weibo. So that means more common people will see words like Bitcoin and other coins, maybe more and more this year.
That's really interesting. And in the Bitcoin Cash community, we had a bit of an interesting happening when the BTC Top mining pool founder, I think I always mispronounce his name, but I believe it's Zhang Zhuo. Is that right?
Yes, Zhang Zhuo.
Zhang Zhuo. And he proposed the infrastructure funding plan for Bitcoin Cash, and it got quite a reaction in the West. And before we kind of get into your feelings about it, I think in the beginning, if people aren't familiar, when he first wrote it, he basically talked a lot about Chinese philosophy, political philosophy especially, and how he was trying to move the community from talking all the time, which is kind of what Westerners do. They like to sit around and talk about things rather than do something. And so I believe what he was trying to say was that, you know, the time for talking maybe is over and we should experiment with something. But how he said it was the sort of the no debate theory. And yes, we won't debate it. Now, you are obviously Chinese, you live in China, but you've also had a lot of dealings with Westerners. Did you see the conflict right away in what he was trying to say versus how it was received in the West?
About the Bitcoin Cash mining development plan, because I ask people to vote for or against on Chinese social media, and I also checked messages on Twitter and Telegram groups, I realized that actually the Chinese BCH community is generally more supportive of the plan, because they're like, it's Jiang's idea and it's only a temporary plan, so why not give it a try? And we all know we already abandoned a similar plan last year in Hong Kong, so we got to make this happen. But the Western side is more like, the plan is so out of blue, it is so sudden, it is done without a wide community discussion, and they worry the miners want to control Bitcoin Cash by this proposal. So I really see a huge gap between these two communities.
It is interesting. And so I saw on Twitter you were attempting to translate some of the articles from read.cash and other places for the Chinese community. And so you found the Chinese to be more receptive to a funding plan of some kind, right?
Yes, definitely. But I think one of the reasons is that Jiang Zhuo is really influential in the Chinese Bitcoin Cash community, and people tend to listen to him. And because he is a big miner, he is a big Bitcoin Cash miner, so people generally don't question his intention, because we believe no matter what he did, it must be that he wants Bitcoin Cash to have a bright future. So no people question his intentions. But I don't think Jiang is that influential in the Western community. So that's why people tend to question his intention, and they worry he wants to control Bitcoin Cash.
Yeah, I saw that he actually came out with an updated version. Did you read that or see that?
The initial version, he mentioned that miners would give 12.5% of a block reward to developers. But for the new one, he mentioned the percentage should be dropped to 1% to 3%.
And have you got a chance yet to kind of get the Chinese community's reception to sort of his latest update, or are they aware of it?
Oh, people are all aware of it. And I think the Chinese Bitcoin Cash community as a whole really support it. Because we all think it is just a temporary thing. It will do no long-term harm to Bitcoin Cash.
So it's kind of a, you know, let's try something, let's do something to make sure that the development gets adequate funding.
Yes, absolutely. Do it first and let's see what will happen later.
And what's the general feeling of Bitcoin Cash? I don't even know if you're prepared to answer this question. I didn't think to ask it before, but what's your general feeling if, say, because I know Bitcoin.com kind of pulled out and they said, well, let's talk about it some more. And I noticed in the second draft of the plan that Zheng didn't list, you know, Zhihan, he didn't list Hypo or anybody. He just sort of said, this is my idea. What happens, do you think, and again, this is kind of an unfair question to ask you, but what happens, do you think, if nothing goes through, say, in May? Do you think the Chinese Bitcoin Cash community will be upset, or do you think they'll just kind of roll with it?
I think people will be really upset because I can see people talk about the plan in WeChat groups every time, every night. They're like, why all this wide and tedious discussion? Why not just do it first? So I think if the proposal failed again, it will definitely greatly undermine people's confidence.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that being a danger. And what's the general feeling towards Bitcoin Cash as a whole? Are people liking it, or are they moving off of it in China? Are they embracing it more, or does it all have to kind of come down to the funding proposal?
Well, because Bitcoin Cash, the price of Bitcoin Cash has been rising since the beginning of 2020. So I realize more people are becoming embracing to Bitcoin Cash. And recently, I got a new title.
What's that?
It's a Chinese crypto forum called Bihu. It's something like a combination of Steemit and Reddit. And Bihu recently opened a Bitcoin Cash sub forum and invited me to work as moderator. I've been updating some articles about Bitcoin Cash on the forum in the past 52 days, and now I have 1,400 followers. So I think,
wow.
Yes, 1,400 followers in 52 days. So I believe more people are becoming positive to Bitcoin Cash.
And you see this is having to do pretty much with the price. What would you say, I mean, does the popularity then in China for cryptos kind of follow their price or their market cap? Would BTC be number one, and then Ethereum, and then Ripple, and so on and so forth?
BTC is always number one because we have a lot of holders who always believe the price of Bitcoin will be to the moon. But Ethereum followers is kind of following. Because this year we see more really weird coins like BSV has been pumping in a really weird way. And it kind of draws attraction of attention away. So I think Ethereum followers are definitely following. And Ripple, we don't have too many people talk about Ripple in China.
That's interesting.
Oh, but we have, but recently OKB, the exchange token of OKEX, is also a hot topic.
And why is that?
Because OK token has used to have 1 billion in total, but they recently announced to destroy 700 million. So it means it only has 300 million now.
So the inflation rate is dropped quite a bit, and
yes.
I guess people are kind of betting that it'll retain more value that way.
And OK always have a good relationship with governments in Beijing. So people are now really see bullish on OK token.
And do you think going forward that's going to be the key for cryptocurrency projects in China, is to have a good relationship with the government there?
Well, it's a hard question, because for startups, it's important for them to get investment. But for industrial players like exchanges, they definitely need to keep a good relationship with governments. Just like Huobi, they now move their office to Hainan because governments ask them to do so.
And what's the general status of mining in China? We always hear about different things going on. Is it still doing well? Is mining still a big industry there?
Well, I think Jiang Zhuo'er posted something like one of his mining farm is violently shut down because of the coronavirus. That definitely caused some panic. But I think the mining business in whole is doing great. It's doing great for the moment, just for the moment.
But the virus could change things, huh?
Yeah, the virus could change the mining business mainly in two ways. First, as many cities are under lockdown, that means mail service will be delayed. And since employees need to work at home, it would become difficult for them to assemble and expand new machines. So mining manufacturers are facing delays in both in delivery and production.
That's unreal. Go ahead.
And as mining farms are mostly located in remote areas, so they remain unaffected for now. But as Jiang Zhuo said, the local government banned one of his farm because of the quarantine control. So I think it means you cannot construct new farms now.
Yeah, it makes sense. And this is impossible, again, completely unfair to ask you this, but is there an outlook? Like, can you see a kind of a positive horizon for the virus? Like, is there any good news of late? Or it's very hard to tell here in the West. The Western press likes to scare people and you know, show these crazy videos and so on. It's hard to know what is really going on, but is there any good news about the virus, like whether they have it under control or whether you think things will get better soon, or do you even know?
Well, honestly, I don't know, because there are so many rumors about the virus, and everything I learn is from television. And you know what television means. They tell what they want you to know. So there are no ways for me to know information that they don't want me to know.
Right. It's a crazy, crazy, crazy issue. Wow. And so is your work being affected? You kind of mentioned to me a little bit before we started recording. How are you? I mean, you're inside your home now for days on end. But are you able to work? Are you able to do your journalism work and so on, or have you had to also adjust there?
Well, actually, you actually interviewed Akane before, right?
Yes.
So actually, me, Akane, and another influential girl called Tammy, we three co-founded a company called Satoshi's Angels.
Right. I know Tammy as well. Awesome. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about Satoshi's Angels. What are you guys doing with that?
Well, Satoshi's Angels is a Hong Kong-based company that aims to help crypto projects grow user base and promote businesses. Because me, I'm from China, Akane is from Japan, and Tammy lives in Korea. So it's like we three represent three biggest crypto markets in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And now as the crypto market starts to recover, we are looking for clients who have marketing budgets and want to promote their projects in Asia. So that is kind of what we are doing. We are looking for clients who care about the Asian market. And we need to let people know what Satoshi's Angels is all about and how we could help them to build a community and organize live meetups.
Yeah, I can't think of three better marketers there than you, Kane and Tammy. I think if you have a company and you're looking to crack the Asian market, there wouldn't be any better than you three. And so the idea is to push for meetups, obviously virtual communities, and just getting the word out about whatever project hires you, right?
Yes, actually, tonight there will be tonight BTC.top founder Jiang Zhuo will do an AMA, and Satoshi's Angel sponsored that AMA.
Oh, very nice. And where's the AMA at?
It will be held on Bihu at the Bitcoin Cash sub forum. Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. And this is kind of what you guys offer. You offer a way in. So if there are Westerners who are looking to make their entry into Asian markets, you guys would be the place to go to. How can they find you?
We have an official website, satoshisangels.com.
Okay. And your work in particular, which we'll also link to in the show notes here. How can people find you and follow you?
Me, I have my own blog, cindydaily.io.
Okay, and do you want them to follow you on Twitter as well?
Twitter, Crypto Cindy, I guess.
Okay, we'll link to it as well. Wow. I wish we could have had you on under better and more festive circumstances, because you're so much fun to interview, and you know so much about the crypto world, especially the Chinese community. So there really is no one better to talk to about it. I just can't help thinking, you know, what a horrible situation you're in. But anyway, we're gonna try to help you where we can, as we spoke earlier. And hopefully people just keep supporting your work and support you through Satoshi's Angels and all that great stuff. And we are definitely rooting for you. Thanks again for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome.
And
it's not like I have a better way to kill time at home.